Let us pray. Speak to us, Lord. Open up our ears and our eyes and our hearts, and speak to the very deepest part of us through your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. I'm going to read just a few verses at the beginning, and then I'm going to skip a little chunk down, and I'll start reading again at verse 11. And it says this, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered to themselves, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Then Jesus told them this parable. He said, 'There was a man who had two sons. And the younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of your estate. So the father divided the property between the two sons. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that foreign country, who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. And the younger brother longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything to eat. When he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So having made up his mind, he got up and he went back to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. And he was filled with compassion for this younger son. And so he ran to his son and he threw his arms around him and he kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his fingers and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast. Let's celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, but is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, that older son was out working in the fields. And when he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called out to one of the servants and asked him what was going on. And the servant said, Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he is back safe and sound. Well, the older brother became angry and refused to go in and join the celebration. So his father went out to him and pleaded with him. But the older son said to his father, Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, and I never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead, but is alive again. He was lost, but is found. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. I've always wondered where that phrase about the green-eyed monster comes from. Does anybody know? Rob, you're sort of a trivia nut. I don't know if you know. All right, so I'll teach you a new little bit of trivia. Turns out it was actually a phrase that Shakespeare invented. In the play Othello, Iago, who's one of the characters, he says this, "Oh, beware, my lord, of jealousy. It is the green-eyed monster which doth mock the meat it feeds on." So there you go. Shakespeare, Othello, Iago. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what color the older brother's eyes are in this parable of the prodigal son. But based on what Shakespeare said, I'm willing to bet the older son's eyes were pretty green. Green with envy. Green with jealousy of his younger brother who had lived foolishly and recklessly and yet is rewarded with the fattened calf when he returns home in shame. Green is the color associated not just with St. Patrick's Day, which is coming up, but it's also associated with sickness. Because sometimes when you start to get sick, your skin turns this sort of yellowish, greenish tinge when you're really, really ill. So to be green with envy and jealousy is to be so sick with it on the inside that you look green with envy on the outside. We know what that feels like, right? So it's probably not the first time you've heard the story of the prodigal son. I always identify with the older son. Always. Always. So I get where he is coming from. We know what it feels like, either to be jealous of someone ourselves, or we know what it's like when somebody feels jealous of us also. It's just part of being human that we seem to have this penchant for wanting things that we don't have. We know what it's like to want what belongs to somebody else and to not be satisfied with the things that we already have. In fact, you can hardly sit down and watch television without being told that what we have is not enough. We need a bigger house or a nicer car, or we need to look like somebody else in order to be happy. It's this constant parade of things that other people have dangled in front of our eyes. And they hope that we'll get so jealous of those happy, successful-looking people in those commercials, in that parade, that we'll go out and we will spend our hard-earned money on the things that they have and that we don't. That's part of what went so wrong in the Garden of Eden all those years ago. We wanted that knowledge that God had, so we ate that fruit from that forbidden tree. Part of our DNA to be jealous and to be envious. A poet once wrote, "As a rule, man's a fool. When it's hot, he wants it cool. And when it's cool, he wants it hot. Always wanting what is not." Ain't that the truth? We know what it feels like to be the older brother from this parable. We know what it must have felt like when he comes near to the house and he hears the music and he sees the celebration and he sees the dancing. We know how that feels. We know what it feels like to be so sick with jealousy on the inside that it starts to show on the outside. And the father comes out, reaches out, to the older brother, pleading with him to come in and to join the party, be a part of the celebration. But the older son wants nothing of that, and he spews back at him, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, and I never disobeyed your orders, and yet you never even gave me a goat so I could have a party with my friends. But here comes this slacker son of yours who has wasted everything, and he's coming home in shame, and you're celebrating." The older brother is distraught by his father's outpouring of love for this younger brother. He is sick with jealousy. He has been bitten by that green-eyed monster. Because when you feel jealous, you feel like you're all alone, and everybody else is together and they're happy. Everyone else is happy and you are alone. You're on the outside looking in. To be jealous also means to feel fearful and insecure, anxious over a loss of something. And in those days, it was typical for the older brother to enjoy a privileged status over the other sons. The eldest son was often seen as kind of the golden child who kind of got the biggest share of the estate and was just sort of the favorite in the family. So perhaps this older brother was green with envy and jealousy because he was afraid of losing some of his status now that this younger brother had come home. So though he probably felt pretty superior most of the time to his slacker brother, now he's worried that he might be losing his place in the family to him because of this big celebration that the father is having. And this is what happens when jealousy and envy start to creep their way inside of us. They can really mess up our perceptions and the way that we see the world around us, so that we can't rejoice when a sibling of ours who was lost is found again, where we can't bear to see our parents share love with someone else. Jealousy just can blind us to the truth, and it can make enemies out of loved ones. So it really is this sickness that crawls inside of us and from the inside out really can ruin our lives. We're talking about giving up our favorite sins for Lent this year. And we're also talking about taking on the opposite of that sin in its place. So, if we really want to give up jealousy and envy, then we have to try taking on something else in its place. So what's the opposite of envy and jealousy? That was sort of the question that I pondered this week. And I came up with an answer. I don't know if it's necessarily the only answer, but it's the answer I came up with. And I think the opposite of jealousy and envy is contentment. While envy and jealousy long for that which is not theirs, contentment is happy, just the way it is. Now, it's one thing to know what contentment is, but it is certainly another to try to work toward getting contentment. So how exactly do you do that? How do you go about being content? Well, there's lots of so-called experts out there with lots of ideas on how to be content. And some would say that if there are things that you want in order to feel content, then what you need to do is set some goals, make a plan, and go after them. And once you set those goals and go after them and achieve them, then you will be content. Or somebody else would say, if you want to be content, you need to stop caring about what other people think and live only for yourself, doing only the things that you want to do and never doing anything anybody else wants you to do. Just do what makes you happy. I suppose you could try some of those ideas, but I actually don't know how far those are going to get you, because they seem awfully me-centered, don't you think? As if being content was something that we can create for ourselves. And I don't think that's it at all. If we could create being content, we would all be content, but I think a lot of us are not content. I think contentment is this gift from God. And it's not something we can create on our own, but it's something that we have to receive. Now, I told you what some experts would say you could do to achieve contentment, but let me tell you what somebody else says about contentment. Let me tell you what the Apostle Paul says about being content. In his letter to the Philippians in chapter 4, he writes, "I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." When you have Jesus, Paul says, you don't really need anything else. When there's plenty, Jesus is enough. When there's a lack in something, Jesus is still all you need. Contentment is something that we can chase after all we want, but we'll only get it once we stop grabbing for it and open our hands to receive it instead. So perhaps that can be your mantra this week. If jealousy and envy is one of those things, one of those sins that you need to work on during Lent, maybe your mantra the next time this green-eyed monster of jealousy and envy comes to visit you, and you're in the older brother's shoes, and you're watching others being happy while you are feeling alone, or when you're worried about losing something that is important to you, maybe you can say these words: Jesus is enough. When I am in need, Jesus is enough. When I have plenty, Jesus is still enough. Jesus is enough. And then do what your shampoo bottle says. Repeat as necessary. Just keep saying it over and over again until it sticks. In a world that tries to tell us that we need more and more and more, Paul says Jesus is enough. If we have Jesus, we don't need anything else. And Paul is strong enough to be content when facing any situation. And surely you know some of those situations he faced. Prison, flogging, shipwrecked, all of those things. He's able to face any situation because of the one who gives him strength, not because of his own strength. Contentment comes from the inside. From the reassurance of knowing and trusting the God who created you and forgives you and loves you, even on our ugliest days. So the way I see it, the contentment that comes from within is the only cure for being green with envy. From the green-eyed monster of jealousy, which tends to make us sick from the inside out. Only contentment can fix us, starting on the inside and working its way out. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.